When I was studying for my message, it became a series because I know when I start having more notes that can possibly fit on the screen. And today I'm going to preach part three of my message, which is sports theme, which you know comes from the Lord if it's a sports theme. Part three, which of staying off the bench. Part three of staying off the bench. And the key to it, what we're going to talk about today, is the power of praise. Power of praise. I want to give you guys two sets of scriptures that you either want to write it down or just turn in your Bible because we're going to camp out there. And if you guys know me, I love to get lots of scripture. In fact, that's how you know you're, you know, not in a cult is because we read the Bible and we give lots of scripture. So you should look it up, you know. Don't just trust me. Look it up for yourself, right? See, Heather knows. So we're going to camp out today in Acts chapter 16. We're going to be looking at verses 19 through 40. We are not going to read them all. You are welcome. And we're going to talk about Paul and Silas in prison and how they got out. And then we're also going to talk about in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 about King Jehoshaphat. And if you don't know how to say his name, just call him King Joe. It's fine. You know, the Lord understands. We're going to learn from his life. So once again, Acts chapter 16 and 2 Chronicles chapter 20. So, part three, a little recap here. How many of you guys know, anybody played football? Anybody just eat nachos and watch people play football? That's what I do. Anywhere there's nachos or a corn dog, I am there. So, you know, it's really interesting. You know, we came out, my first message was Super Bowl Sunday. And the whole essence of when a key player or just one of your favorite players gets hit really, really hard and suffers a horrible injury. And the worst thing, especially on Super Bowl, is when they are stuck on the bench. And you are like, come on, we need you in the game. Am I right? Am I right? Now, how many of you can relate to a player that has gotten hit really hard over and over again in life? Anybody been hit? Yeah, life hits hard. And, you know, sometimes we get really injured and we sit on that bench, but we sit on that bench way longer than we ever should. Because sometimes we're just afraid to get back out there and get hit again. How many people can relate? Because God never intended us to warm up that bench our entire life and then go praise him in the sweet by and by up in heaven. God intended us to get out in the game. And he gave us his grace empowerment. Grace is God's divine empowerment. It's his character and his nature freely received in our heart and reflected in our life. He has given us the grace to get back out there. But why are we on the bench? Because sometimes, you know, it feels a little bit easier to spectate and watch. Sometimes we forget and we think we're on those bleachers up there with a crowd. But God's called every single one of us to be a participant. We are all called to the ministry of reconciliation. We are all called to be Jesus and bring his love and power and healing to everyone else around us, right? But if you sit on that bench too long, we will forget who we really are. A son and a daughter of the King. A son and a daughter. And you know what? Sometimes we just got to remember that's all I ever got to be in life is a son and a daughter of the Lord. But I'll tell you what, you know, my family, you know, we were actually more outdoorsy, to be honest with you. We weren't like so much the sport people with the projectiles. We just killed things. We were like shooting things and doing target practice. And if Dad did it, we all did it. See, right, Miss Margie? You know, if you came over to our house, we were all participating. Even if we had those really rinky-dink, you know, like the bow and arrows with the little thing at the end, you know, ridiculous. But, you know, you're 4 years old. That's what you got because Dad had the real thing. But us as an entire family, we were participating, right? In the game. So I want to encourage you guys today to not forget how to play past the pain. Come on, what do we learn in sports? Football, come on, my football players. Mr. Bob was a football player, okay? When you get hit, you got to shake it off and play past it, right? We got to remember how to play past the pain. We got to remember how to praise past the pain. We're not feeling like it, and when it hurts, because a team needs you. We're the team. We're the body of Christ. We need everybody out in the field. And we can't help anybody if we are sitting on that bench nursing our wounds, can we? Sometimes we're just so tired of it. I'm 36 years old, and, you know, sometimes you're just tired, and you're like, I do not feel like getting out of bed today. Sometimes we're just tired, and we want to run the clock on a season in our life. But it is not the season to run the clock because you get one shot on the earth. One shot in the great adventure. So we get hit sometimes. But Luke chapter 17, verse 1, Jesus promised something. He promised you these hits will come. I'm serious. It says that. John 17, 1, he promises offenses will come. People are going to hit you. People are going to betray you. People are going to criticize you. You will experience loss. You're going to experience disappointment. But we got to remember who the author is. It's not Jesus. It's not him. Satan's where that stuff comes from. We'll talk about that later. John 10:10 clearly talks about that. But Jesus does warn you. Hey, these things are going to come. But the Lord will use you despite the pain wherever you are at in life. We talked last time about being in a pit. Being in the pits like Joseph when nothing is going your way. And man, no matter what you do, when you do it right, it just seems that you get forgotten and left high and dry. But God says this. He says, hey, I'm going to require you to stand up and praise me through it all. Stand up and praise him in faith when you're not feeling it, right? When circumstances may not look like they're going your way. Because as Christians, we have to learn how to praise God despite the hits and get off that bench of disappointment, loss, criticism, and betrayal. And we're going to have to make up our mind and declare, nothing is going to steal my praise. Nothing is going to steal my praise. Say it with me. Nothing is going to steal my praise. And it's going to take some maturity. Whew. And forgiveness. Big one. And enduring faith. Enduring faith by name says the answer doesn't come immediately. Ugh. God's timing. Awesome. That means there might not be a good sign coming. There might not be an immediate breakthrough. Enduring faith. Faith brings answers, right? We're a faith church. We preach faith. Enduring faith brings answers with character. And praise expedites the delivery. And that is what we're going to talk about today. It's good to preach to yourself, right? I had some stuff, you know, going on this week. Didn't feel like praising, but you know what? You got to practice what you preach, right? Whew! I'm practicing. All right, so the key verse that ties my series together is Romans chapter 5, 3 through 5. Romans chapter 5, 3 through 5. And it is a good one to read when you are feeling like just kind of getting cozy on that bench. Maybe a month ago you got off the bench and then you got hit again and it started looking real good. Well, Romans chapter 5, 3 through 5 says this. We can rejoice too. Rejoice. Woohoo! Yes, rejoice, right? When we run into problems and trials. Fantastic. For we know that they will help us develop endurance. Endurance. Develop strength of character. Character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead us to disappointment. Praise God. When we put our trust in him, we will not be put to shame and we will not be disappointed. We were singing about it. That's why it's good to sing songs. That's the gospel. Worship team preaches the gospel through song. Praise God for the worship team, man. We need a reminder in the morning because you know I'm not a morning person. Praise God for coffee too. All right, so it says we will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. You know, there is always something to celebrate in life. And let's be honest, sometimes you got to really dig deep. Sometimes you just got to start of, God, thank you for your unconditional love. Thank you. You love me no matter how many times I messed up that play. No matter how many times I sat my tush on that bench. No matter how many times I said, what? Sorry, Lord, how many letters? We're not counting. Thank you for forgiving me. God, you're so good. And you know what? When we get swept up in his love, We get stirred up and we start being filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't got time to preach it. One of my favorite topics. But sometimes we got to stir ourselves up in his love. Because what happens is it surges us with faith, with love, with joy, with victory. And it starts flushing out doubt, fear, unbelief. And that's the stuff that causes delay in our life. So when we praise God, it feeds that faith and it keeps the switch of faith turned on. We've talked about that. You know, in a moment, you got a rough day, you can turn your faith off real quick. When we start praising God, it keeps the switch of faith turned on. Because we got to know this, the moment we pray, God hears us the first time we pray. That's what the word says. And he sends the answer. But we have to start praising him and thanking God and standing in faith. Because when we do that, we count the thing done before it materializes. That's what faith is. It's believing when you can't see something and thanking God for it. Because it's been already done in the spirit. We just haven't seen the delivery. Somewhere between heaven and FedEx, it just hasn't made it to the front door yet, but it's on its way. I'm being honest. Okay, sometimes you want to click and track it. God, how far are we on this whole timeline thing? Well, I wish we had Google. Google heaven. But we have to praise him. We got to praise him. So, okay, let's talk about this real quick. What is true praise and worship? I could spend 45 minutes on this. Maybe next week. We'll see. True praise and worship. Okay, let's talk about praise. Now let's talk about worship first. Okay, so worship is not the slow song. You know that, right? It's not the, you know, the emo crying, oh God, sometimes. Got to listen to those words because it's only worship if it talks about how worthy God is. Worship comes from the English word worth. Ship. Oh, excuse me. Yeah, I got it right. Look at my notes. Yeah, the English word worth-ship means to count God, to honor him as one that is honorable. Worship talks about God's character and his nature and his majesty. It sings about who he is. Sometimes we sing it slow. Sometimes we sing it fast. All right, so what's real praise? Praise is not the fast, really. Okay, let's not clap because you know I can't hold a beat. Thank you, Rob. I am so grateful for the gift of God in you. There's many gifts to Rob. You know, talk to him. He's a really great guy. You ever need someone to just cheer you on and just press you past where you're comfortable? Talk to Rob. He'll like get you right to the edge. You're like, whoa, Rob, I don't know. That's a lot of faith, you know? No, it's awesome. And he also holds the beat. Praise God. All right, so praise is not just something you clap to in church. Okay, praise is a way that we just love God and adore him and express our thankfulness for everything that he's done in our lives, everything that he's done in the world, everything he's done in the people around us. It thanks him also for what he's doing and what he's going to do. That's why we got to praise him in faith, even if we don't see it. And you know, praise is the highest form of prayer. Think about that. Praise is one of the highest forms of prayer because it's just thanking him for what he's promised to do. And it's not dependent on music, because I want to let you know, we don't always have the music playing when we need to praise him the most. When you get hit and you're laying there on the field going, I can't breathe right now. I got such a report. Whew. We don't got the band on Sunday morning. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. Okay. That'd be great. They do that on TV. You're going to get the cheerleaders. Woohoo! No, you're laying there. You don't even know your middle name at that point. So let me tell you this. You're going to have to practice praising God when it's good and easy. When you got Nevin and the whole team up there. Praise God. They make it easy. Let's thank God for the worship team. Thank you for making it so much easier on us. So let's practice when it's easier, but also I need you to practice when there's no band and there's no music, because true praise comes from the deepest depths of your heart. Whew. And how many know you got to dig deep when you're in pain? Oh. But praising God is one of the number one greatest weapons that God has given us. You know, Psalms 149 verse 6 says this. It says, let the high praises of God be in their mouth. So you don't just think it, you got to say it. And then it says, a two-edged sword in their hand. So it is comparing the high praises, when we lift God higher than anything else, with having a sword in your hand. Letting him fight our battles. We're going to talk about that today. High praises of God lift Jesus higher than anything else in your life and in this universe. And it makes God bigger than any attack of the enemy. When we have to rise above our emotional living. I'm a girl. God created girls way more emotional than guys. Thank God for men. They just balance us out, you know. But my dad was a little emotional too. He's kind of like, he was like the pastor that would cry. He was awesome. And, God gave us these emotions for a reason, right? Because God has emotions too. But our praise can't be dependent on it. Am I right? Whew. I wish it was. Make it a lot easier. But The Lord says to praise him in the good times and the bad times because he's always good. And you're going to have to praise him despite your feelings of being maybe imprisoned in your circumstances. We're going to talk about that today a little bit. Because when we get swept up in praise and thanksgiving, mountains move. Amen? Freedom happens spiritually before it happens in the natural, right? When we start praising God, mountains are moved, battles are won, healing is received. It was already given 2,000 years ago, but we start getting real good at receiving it when we're praising him. And we get set free. It's good to sing about freedom, that first song, man. All right, so we're going to talk about, remember, Paul and Silas and King Jehoshaphat. And we're going to talk about how they stayed off the bench when they weren't feeling it. They stood up and praised God when they were surrounded on all sides and did not let go of the destiny of what God has called them to do. You know, man, the odds sometimes are really rough in life. But God's praise, it brings, man, God is so good. When we praise God, it brings supernatural deliverance. It brings vindication. It brings recompense. What that means, it says, hey, the Lord God, he's a judge. He wins the battle, and he will make sure justice is brought. We don't bring justice, God does, right? And when Satan steals from you, the Bible says, when the thief gets caught, double is restored. And praise God. We're going to talk about how that happens today. Because when you are surrounded on all sides in debt, man, that can be suffocating. When you're between a rock and a hard place because you got just served some papers in a lawsuit, fantastic. When life kicks you in the teeth with a doctor's report. Man, sometimes doctor's reports will just knock the wind out of you. When you get sucker punched by a betrayal from a friend or a layoff, you dedicated 20 years to that company. Whew, little pink slip comes by. I'm not feeling like praising him, to be honest with you. Because sometimes life deals you a really hard hand. You don't deserve it. But God is so big, he can win with any hand. God is so big. I don't care what kind of nasty Satan dealt you. God didn't deal you that nasty. I don't care what Satan dealt you. My God is so big that when we pray and we praise him, God will turn things around and work all things together for good. He's not the author of the nasty, but he is so good when we don't quit on him. He said, hey, stick with me. You praise me through this pain. I will turn it around. Praise is the key to victory. But we're going to have to praise him through the storms and through the hits in life because that bench is not going to help anybody and is sure not going to help you. And that is exactly Paul and Silas's response to prison. And listen, I don't know if you've been to prison, and praise God, God frees us, man. It's just a beautiful ministry at this church. Isn't it good that God just frees us from our past? That doesn't define us. So there's a lot of people that can really connect, or maybe they visited a loved one in prison. But I'll tell you, prison 2,000 years ago was not what it was like now. So in Acts chapter 16, we're going to look at verses 19 through 40. I'm not going to read them all. Please go back and read this. And we're gonna talk about a really bad day. Anybody had a really bad day? How about a week? How about a year? How about maybe like a couple years? Anybody been there? Okay, and you know why we read the Bible sometimes? We go, hey, I'm not the only one. In fact, there's about a million other people that had it worse. It's good to get our eyes off ourselves. So Paul and Silas had a really, really rough day. And, you know, they put their necks out to help someone. Anybody ever put your neck out to help someone only for them to turn around and just bite you on that one? I was trying to help. Maybe it blew up in your face. Well, that's what happened to Paul and Silas. In verses 16 through 22, Paul and Silas delivered a slave girl from demons. Just she was totally just wrecked by demons. And honestly, like it was destroying her life. And they set her free. Praise God. Isn't it good God sets us free? So God called Paul and Silas. In fact, the Lord showed him in a vision to go to Macedonia, okay? They go, they're obedient, they preach the gospel, they tell them all about Jesus, they start healing people, and they set someone free. And how do you think they got thanked? Yep, thrown in jail. Fantastic. Awesome. So the owners of the slave girl were like, oh, you ruined someone that was working for us because you set her free. So they turned the whole crowd and turned the government against them. Whew. And they didn't just, lock you up, set a little bail. Back then, whew. Yeah, it was awesome. They stripped you. Let's not talk about that too much. Let's talk about an analogy. Okay, you ever, had your bank all dried up? Your account stripped? There's nothing in there? Okay, they got beaten with rods. All right, now some people think, you get punched. But one time I was walking through a warehouse and I was pulling a cart at my previous job from the sales office to the back. And this coordinated girl over here happened to pull the cart loaded with stuff so quickly that it ran over the back of her leg. Yep, didn't play sports. And bruised my bone. It hurt for months. It bruised the bone. Ached pain for months. I had to talk to a nurse. They're like, no, you didn't break anything. You bruised the bone. They were beaten with rods and their bones were bruised. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but oh, your words will hurt me for months. Years. Some people, lifetime. Good thing someone else's words don't define us, right? Praise God. So verses 24, they get thrown in the inner prison. They get thrown in the lowest of low circumstances. Stuck in a dungeon, chained to the stocks. No way out. No way out. And they are pressed from all sides. But thank God in 2 Corinthians 4, 8 through 9 and 15. This is a good one to read when you are feeling pressed from all sides. How many people had a week where they were feeling the pressure from all sides? It says, we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We're perplexed. I don't get it. But we are not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but we are not abandoned. Thank you, Jesus. You have never left me. We are going through this together. We are never abandoned by God. We got knocked down, but I get up again. Okay, 90s. We'll just stop. I'm a child of the 90s. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. And all of this is for your benefit. And as God's grace, his divine empowerment, as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving, and God will receive more and more glory. When we are the weakest, the Lord God is the strongest. Amen? You got to read it, though. We can say we know it, but the Bible says to keep the word constantly before your eyes, right? So 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 and 10 says, my grace is all you need. My power works best when you're weak, when you can't do it on your own, when you feel like quitting because you got nothing left. Good thing God works the best when we can't do it. I like the NIV says here, it says that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight. That's kind of hard to do. But I delight in weaknesses and in insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. Because when I am weak, then I am strong in him, right? Praise God. So when we tap into God's grace, his divine empowerment to praise him, Satan doesn't get the last word. How many people do not like when someone else gets the last word? This is just human. Okay, people that, fighting spouses, I'm getting the last word. Okay, well, let me tell you this. When you praise God, Satan doesn't get the last word. And it feels real good when he doesn't get the last word. So don't sit on that bench, okay? So Paul and Silas, they pushed past the pain. And I mean real pain. Not just emotional pain. They help someone, they're obedient to God, and rejection and attack comes. Okay, that's personal. But also deep physical pain. In Acts chapter 16, verse 25, it says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying, and they were singing hymns of praise to God, and the other prisoners listened. You ever feel like it is the midnight hour in your life? You know when midnight is? Midnight is when circumstances feel the darkest, and you feel the weakest, and you are fighting discouragement, you are fighting depression. You tried to do the right thing, and it blew up in your face, and this is how it turned out. Let me tell you this, midnight is not fair. Life is so not fair. Sometimes you got to teach your kids that, guys. Life is not fair, but God is good. Whew. All time, amen. And we got to be real careful in that this is so not fair moment to not get stuck on the bench in the why me moment. Anybody have a why me moment? Come on, we all do. We all do. We try to keep it private. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8, it talks about Paul. Paul, who wrote 3/4 of the New Testament, a mighty man of God. He was obedient, and he didn't deserve it, but it says that he was afflicted in every way. It doesn't say if you're in the will of God that life is just easy. Offenses, obstacles, attacks come. It just does. If you're getting hit, it doesn't mean you're out of God's will. Now, it's not God's will that you suffer. It is not God's will that you go through sickness. It is not God's will that that people are just nasty to you. Satan's the author of that, right? Amen. We got to remember John 10:10 and 1 Peter 5:8. It is not personal. Satan is a lion, and he will steal, kill, and destroy anything he can get his claws in. Anything. We got to remember where this stuff is coming from. But Jesus is so good, he gives us a heads up. In John chapter 16, verse 33, I like the Amplified for it, the girly version of the Bible. It's real wordy. Praise God. It says, Jesus gave a heads up. Well, excuse me, I said that. But he said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. I went through like 2 years where I was always saying, I am so frustrated. I am so frustrated. I was really frustrated, but I kept saying it. So you'll have what you say. All right. So I had to kind of change what I was saying. It says, but be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident. Be undaunted. For I have overcome the world, and I have deprived it of its power to harm you, and I have conquered it for you. Amen. The battle belongs to the Lord. And 2,000 years ago, that battle was won. The situation that you're facing, the answer that was blood-bought, was won 2,000 years ago. Amen? Well, we're going to have to keep our eyes on Jesus and bring up that weapon of praise and have enduring faith. Because at midnight, that is when the real true love song is found. Because it is real easy to praise God on the bright sunny days after the breakthrough when the answer has come. You know, Nevin's up there with the worship team. It's real easy. But it is really hard to respond in the long haul when it has been hard and you don't think you can get back out there again. But that's when it defines your relationship with God. Because are we a fair weather friend? Are we the fair weather worshiper? Yeah, I'm going to clap and sing when I got my 8 hours of sleep, but you're a mom. You haven't eight hours of sleep in like, what, 15 years? Actually, if you're a dad, you haven't either. Let's be real, okay? So, are we a fair weather friend? Are we a fair weather worshiper? Because if we don't practice developing that worship life in the easy times, when the hard times come, when it's rough, it's a lot harder. Because God requires our praise in the daylight and at midnight. Because God is still God. God is still Lord. Jesus is still on the throne at midnight. And he happens to specialize in jailbreaks at midnight. Amen? Praise God. God specializes in jailbreaks at midnight. Isaiah 42, verse 7. I read this a lot. Jesus came to set captives free from prison and to release from the dungeons those that sit in darkness. Modern day translation, Jesus specializes in freeing you from depression and anxiety and despair. Thank you, Jesus. Because we live in a society. Come on, it's America. We live in a cush society, and so many people are suffering. I used to suffer from it too, and I had to get a revelation. Wait a minute, Jesus, 2,000 years ago, you delivered me from sin, you healed me, my body, and you also healed me emotionally. Thank God, he specializes in jailbreak. Man, he's good. And Paul and Silas learned to praise God at midnight, and we have to as well. And past disappointment, past loss, past criticism, past betrayal, we have to press past the pain and praise God, despite how we feel, which is horrible. Paul and Silas felt horrible. Their circumstances were bleak. There was no way out. But instead of wallowing with his friend, you know, Paul and Silas, will you wallow with me? My life is so hard. Let's just talk about how horrible our lives are in our really sad support group. Okay, listen, if all you do with your friends is talk about how bad your life is, can I be honest with you? You'll be there 20 years. I'm being honest. You better find some friend that kicks you in the tail. I surround myself with people that kick me in the tail. Okay, Sherry, okay, why, crying? Okay, I love you. You're supposed to cry with those who cry. Okay, got it. But you're also supposed to say, hey, listen, I'm with you, and cheerlead and say, we got this, and you're not to do it alone, and God is faithful, and we are moving forward. It's good to have a Paul and Silas relationship. You might have to dig for one. They may be so different from you. Listen, God always gives me friends that I have nothing in common with. I'm just being honest. Like, we have totally different types of humor. Obviously, nobody dresses like a pink clown. You know, like, I'm different. But God will give me people that are different because they bring strength to me, right, and my weaknesses, and kick me and say, come on, let's get back out there. It's good to hang out with people that are different from you. Diversity. God created it. We should get some diversity in our friendships, right? Come on. Find somebody that's different than you. They're going to bring some strength to your life. And instead of complaining, Paul and Silas weren't complaining, because complaining comes from pride, because it tells God, I know what is better for my life. And it makes your mountain way bigger than God, so we don't got time to complain, do we? Although I struggle. Let's be real. Okay, Colossians 3, 1 through 2, this is what they did. It says, they set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are on this earth. Because in the prison, in the bad circumstances, Paul and Silas dug deep and they found a new song, and it rose up in their hearts. And they remembered their God was greater than their circumstances. They remembered their God was bigger than that prison. He remembers that God is our rock. He is our sun. He's our shield. He is our strong tower, and he is more than enough. They got so swept up in their love for him that faith started rising up and praise started rising up. You know, the Bible says that, Galatians 5, 6, it says faith is activated by love. We praise him. We love him for what he's done. And faith starts rising up. So praise fuels that delivery, right? And it gets our heart reconnected back to who God is, who's bigger, but also in our relationship with him, in our identity with him, because we are sons and daughters of the Most High God, and Daddy God is not going to let you sit there and rot in prison. We got to get our spiritual jailbreak before the natural one manifests. Amen? Acts chapter 16, verse 26 said, suddenly, you know, we serve a God of suddenlies. Right when you think nothing's going to happen, God suddenly starts moving. He's always moving, but you suddenly start seeing it, right? Said, suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the very foundations of the prison were shaken. And all at once, the doors opened, and everyone's shackles were unfastened. Paul and Silas praised God until an earthquake caused the prison break. So when you praise God at midnight, things change. Changes you. We find joy. We find that peace. We find that love. We tap into his grace. We remember our identity. My identity is in Christ. He's never going to let me go. Changes our circumstances. Things start shaking, right? The stuff trying to hold you down, the words that people have spoken over you, the things that have held you back in life. When someone says you're never going to amount to anything, that your addiction defines you, that your son's never going to come home, that's a load of junk. Because my God says something bigger, and my God says something greater. And in that moment, it changes us, and it changes our circumstances, and it changes people around us. Verse 25 says they were singing and praising, and everyone else was listening. Your family's listening. Your neighbors are listening. Your coworkers are listening. They're watching how you handle this persecution. They're watching how you handle that coworker that's trying to, you know, take you down and get your job. Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12 says, God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil about you because you're my followers. It says, be happy about it. I'm trying, God. I'm just being honest. This is tough. Be very glad, for the great reward awaits you in heaven. Okay, let's talk about context. You know, you got to read your Bible in context. Otherwise, you're going to miss the point. So just pop a few scriptures down in verse 14 through 16. It says, you are the light of the world. The context of persecution is about being the light to a dark world. You are the light of the world. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. Instead, the lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. And in that same way, let your good deeds, let your praise shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. So let's talk about this. When you are persecuted, Jesus within you is that light. And your words and your praise, let him come out, and then Jesus shines in the midst of things. And not only do your own shackles break out, but it starts getting people's attention. Suddenly Christians look a little different than those whiny, wimpy ones that everybody thinks we are. Always complaining. All right, so we're supposed to give praise and not hide it. Satan wants to steal your praise. He wants you to get hit and isolate yourself on that bench and complain or just not praise him. Because your praise has the power to not only set you free, but the other people around you. Acts chapter 16, verse 26 says, "All the doors immediately flew open and the chains of every prisoner fell off." Paul and Silas were freed in their praise, but so was everyone else around them. Good thing we are carriers of God's presence. Good things we are conduits of love and joy and peace. And when we stir ourselves up and let it out of our mouth, it starts affecting other people around us. They'll start coming to you to pray for them. Well, you might be going through it too. Well, but we're going to get through this together. Amen? Then, okay, verses 30 through 34. I'm just going to tell the story. Okay, the jailer and his household were saved and baptized. And then, okay, so the jailer goes, "Hey, let's get y'all, you know, they're beat up, right? They're bleeding out, their bones are bruised, they're hungry, they're tired." The jailer's like, "What must I do to be saved?" So he gives his life to Jesus. "Now get my whole family coming to Jesus, and then I'm going to put you a steak dinner in front of you, get you a nice warm bath, little bubble bath, whatever." Back then, okay, God is good, right? Okay, so they got blessed despite all those things. You know, when we praise God, our persecutors and our frenemies. Anybody know what a frenemy is? Yeah. They say they're your friend. Behind your back, they are something else. But your persecutors and your frenemies, when we praise God and we don't let their words define us, they come to know Jesus and they turn around and they start blessing you. That's what the Bible says. So a life of praise is not just about you, because your friends, your family, and your coworkers are watching. And freedom's going to come to them, and blessing's going to come to them and through them. Man, God is moving. But we got to stand up, right? We got to get off that bench. Your family needs you to get off the bench. Kids are watching you. You know, I'll be honest with you. You know, you got to let your kids make their own decision for the Lord, right? But they're going to watch you and see how big your God is before they make him their God in their own timing. So how you praise God and what kind of, you know, stuff that comes out of, come on, when we know pressure, come on, I'm under pressure, some junk comes out of my mouth, because it gets junk in your heart throughout the week, right? But when we catch that and say, "God, I had to, you know, repent from junk coming out of my mouth," okay? And we start praising God and your kids start seeing how big your God is. Amen. So when we respond in praise, it brings freedom and it brings vindication. So you know what? I love this part, verses 35 through 39. So they were set free. Their name gets cleared. There's nothing worse when someone, like, it's one thing to punch you in the face, but at least you got your character and your reputation, right? Well, they got punched in the face and kicked everywhere, and then their character and their reputation got smeared. But guess what vindication was? The government leaders came back to them and says, "Hey, we are so sorry. I don't know what happened. God did something overnight when they were praising. Hey, we are so sorry. You're Roman citizens. Sorry we messed with you. We're going to just clear your name and, you know, we good? We good?" So vindication came. It was good because we serve a God of love and vindication and justice, but it comes from him. We can't make it happen on our own. So you got to let it be sometimes, guys. Let God work it out. So when we learn how to push past the pain, we get off the bench and we praise God. And it overflows and equips us to be Jesus on this earth and bring freedom to other people. Despite our circumstances, if you allow God to use you, he will. Amen? But we're going to have to allow him to use us. But people are watching how you handle opposition. People are watching how you handle, you know, the gossip about you. People are watching how you handle someone coming against you at work. But if you choose to stick on the bench there and we whine and we wallow, it's just going to reinforce all their misconceptions about wimpy Christians.
All they do is complain. They're so negative. They just judge everybody. They're so critical. I don't want to be a Christian.
I wouldn't want to either. We're going to have to show them something greater than that, right? Breakthrough comes when we praise God for us and the people around us. So you ever need a breakthrough like your life depended on it? You ever kind of like balancing your checkbook? Old people, I'm old. I have a checkbook. I balance it. You know, or maybe your young people online, they're looking. They're like, we need a breakthrough. I don't know how we're going to make the mortgage. You start mulling over a situation from every angle. You feel like you're surrounded on all sides and there is no way out. How many of you just want to run sometimes? Just want to fold? I just want to watch Netflix for 8 hours. I've been there. Confession. Okay. Ugh. But we're going to talk about King Jehoshaphat because he was surrounded on all sides. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 20. King Jehoshaphat. He was in the city of Judah. And he was surrounded by all sides. And I really like reading the Old Testament sometimes in the Message version because it really just causes this story to unfold. So verses 1 through 3 in the Message, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Now, if you guys don't know these names or these cities, just make it up. Nobody knows. It says, the Moabites and the Ammonites, accompanied by the Munites, joined forces to make war on Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat received this intelligence report. How many of you, I like spy stuff, so his spies came out, okay? And they said, a huge force is on its way from beyond the Dead Sea to fight you, and there is no time to waste. They're already at, we'll just call it Baltimore, just right around the corner. So things are not looking really good. You ever feel like all of your enemies and frenemies decided to become in cahoots, and the same week they all decided just to like smear you and make your life really hard? It's like it's coming from everywhere. Are you serious right now? All the bills are due at the same time. Your loan gets called in. Your car breaks down, and the mechanic said, "Just let it go. Just let it go. It's not worth fixing." Fantastic. All right. And then on top of it all, your neighbor threatens to sue you. Best week ever. You just want to wake up from the nightmare. And King Jehoshaphat is in one of those situations, right? He's getting it from all sides. And it is about to become a real-life reenactment of Remember the Alamo. That's what it's looking like. And the Message Bible says he was shaken. So he was shaken in his boots. What do you do when you are shaken in your boots? We're going to have to pray. We're going to have to pray and praise him. And that's what he did. Because, you know, we all get hit with fear. It's how you respond to it that defines you, right? So in verses 3 through 4, now I'm going to read in the Amplified again. It says, Jehoshaphat feared and set himself determinedly as a vital need to seek the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast. Oh gosh, fasting. Yay. I love carbohydrates. And I love steak. So when you say fast, I was like, oh God. Okay, we'll talk. It's okay. Don't worry. There's other kinds of fasting too. It says, but he proclaimed a fast in all of Judah. And Judah gathered together to ask for help from the Lord and came to seek the Lord, yearning for him with all of their desire. You know, I think during a battle, during a really intense storm, it's really hard to hear God, right? Because your emotions are all muddied up. It's just, you know, swirling. And, you know, the stress and the emotions and the fear make your head spin. And it makes it hard to sleep. And lack of sleep makes you stupid. Stress makes you stupid. Okay, like when you're stressed out, let's be real, you don't know all your kids' names. Like my parents were like, Jesse, Joy, Kathleen, Sherry, they didn't know our names. They just said every single one, you know, like I could tell when my parents are stressed. you don't know. And let alone like hearing the voice of God in that moment. Because Satan tries to use fear to steal faith and to steal your praise. But you know, the key to fasting, and there's different kinds of fasting. And with my students, I encourage what's called an entertainment fast. Because I'll tell you, the one thing that feeds your flesh more than anything, yes, you know, like, you know, ice cream at midnight, whatever. I love it. Maybe that was me last night. So good. But the thing that really can, like, mess your head up, honestly, is what goes in. It's the music that we're listening to. It's the shows that we're watching. You know, it's where we're spending our time. And it just distracts us, right? It's hard to get in faith when we're watching, you know, the world going all crazy and, you know, talking about stuff. I'm going to spare you examples. Well, we know. Once again, Netflix, love it. All right, we know what's on Netflix. Okay, but desperate times call for desperate measures, right? So are you a whatever it takes kind of guy? Because King Jehoshaphat was. He's in that moment, he's surrounded at all sides, and he says, whatever it takes. So he set himself to seek God first, and he pushed all the distractions aside, and he whipped out his Bible, and he started digging in it, and he started reaching deep to find God, something to praise about. You know, it says in verse 5 that Jehoshaphat stood up in front of the community. And when you're getting hit, everybody's watching, right? And it's time that we have to stand up off that bench. Stand up in front of your family and say, the only one I am surrendering to in this battle is Jesus. The only one I'm going to lift my hands to and say, I give up is just Jesus. I'm not giving it up. I'm giving it all to you. I surrender. And then in verse 6, it said he prayed and he started digging deep and remembering what God had done in his life and in the lives and the people and the world around him. It says, oh, Lord God of our ancestors, you alone are the God who is in heaven. You are the ruler of all the kingdoms of the earth. You are powerful and mighty, and no one can stand against you. Nothing can stand against the Lord God, because he's the Lord God. He is the God mighty in battle. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. Jesus is Lord. Praise is the highest form of prayer. Praise is the greatest weapon. Because when we meditate and declare the greatness of our God, and you start remembering all those giants that God killed. God's the giant killer. We start praising God, start making those giants look real small, and God looking so much bigger. So he goes on, and I'm just going to read some excerpts of the prayer that King Jehoshaphat said. So in verses 7, 9, and 12, I'm just going to glue them together for the sake of time. Said, King Jehoshaphat praised, oh, our God, did you not drive out those who lived in this land when your people Israel arrived? Did you not give us this land forever to the descendants of your friend Abraham? Whenever we are faced with any calamity such as war, plague, or famine, economic, recession, we can come to stand in your presence before your temple where your name is honored. And we can cry out to you and you save us and you will hear us and rescue us. Our eyes are on you. We got to get our eyes off of our circumstances and off the statistics and get our eyes on Jesus, because he's the miracle worker and he's the one that's so much bigger and he's where the answer's coming from. We got to get quiet and start listening and start praising and remembering how good God is and how he's rescued you and how he hasn't let you go yet and he never will. And listen for that answer to come. And you got to recall and praise God for everything you can think of. And honestly, when you're in a really dark moment, sometimes you just go back to, thank you for saving me. Jesus, 20 years ago, in my darkest of moments, when everyone left me and everyone gave up on me, and even my own parents said it wasn't going to happen, you saved me. You gave me this family. God, thank you for this family. God, thank you. I have a roof over my head. That's more than a lot of people. God, you're good. Start praising God. Psalms 103 verse 2 says, praise the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he has done for me. I had a very close friend one time, and he was just questioning everything. He hadn't left his faith, but he had pretty much left a lot of it. And I looked at him and I said, you know what? Just go back. Do you believe Jesus loves you? And he goes, yeah. Jesus loves me. I said, then you stay there. Jesus loves me. This I know. He was in a really horrible custody battle and financially just, had to move in with his parents and heart was broken. But Jesus loves me. This I know. Forget not all his benefits. And you start digging deeper and you growing and it's going to stir your heart up. And we stir up faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. Faith comes by praising and praising and praising, and faith moves every mountain, doesn't it? Jehoshaphat and the whole congregation stood on the promises of God. You got to read the Bible. Don't just trust me. I give you lots of scriptures, okay? But you got it. You got all things that pertain to life and godliness in here, right? Satan wants you to be really ignorant of God's word, and he wants you to be really bored during praise and worship. So let's be real. Let's read this thing and remember we got something to praise about. You know, every time we come under attack, let's be real. Like every day, come on. You know what a really good one to like remember and say out loud? Isaiah chapter, 54, verse 17. I say this one all the time. It says, "No weapon formed against me will prosper. Every tongue that rises up against me, every stinking liar out there is going to be brought to nothing." Man. And then it says, "These are the benefits enjoyed by the servants of the Lord. Their vindication will come from me, because I, the Lord God, have spoken it. And the word of God doesn't return void." But we're going to have to see it, read it, and speak it, and thank him for it. Because his word is his will. So praise God for the promises of God. Because we're going to have to really remember, Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago. You might as well remember what he did it for. Can I be honest with you? We don't have time to talk all the torture and the horrors that he went through. So we can have healing, so we can be set free, so we can have joy even when life is going bananas in our lives. It's good to remember, otherwise it would be in vain. And when you've done all that you know to do, we do what? We stand. And then we stand. Ephesians 6, 13 through 14 says this, "Therefore put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you will be able to stand," not sit, "stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then," ready for this, "and buckle the belt of truth around your waist." God's word is ultimate truth. The facts are always subject to change. And the truth of God sets us free. So when we stand and we praise him in faith, things start to change, right? Changes us, changes our circumstances, changes the people around us. So we have to stand in faith and praise God and watch him fight our battle. What is faith? Hebrews 11, verse 1. I like it in the Amplified. It says, "Faith is the assurance." The assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of the things we do not see, the conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. So I bought my Jeep online. I don't always recommend buying your Jeep online, but my cousin, he's a mechanic. He had his dealer's license. So I trusted him. Trust God. Okay, so we are reading about this Jeep online. Sounds good. Love it. Really excited. I can't drive anything but a Jeep. I'm just being honest with you. You know, like there's truck people, there's car people, I'm a Jeep person, you know. So I also was on a very limited budget. So we were looking online. And my cousin, click, 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 buys a Jeep online. I'd never seen before. But I trusted my cousin. Okay? We bought the Jeep. I got the receipt. I got the title. The Jeep came a couple weeks later. Faith is believing, I got the title deed. I may not have it been delivered yet, but it's on his way, and my God is good on his word. Faith is confident. My uncle always says that. I love my Uncle Jim. He's a faith guy. He says, faith is confidence in God. Uncle Jim always says that. Faith is confidence in God. The NLV says, it says, faith is the confidence that we hope for that will actually happen. It is the assurance of the things we cannot see. Faith is confidence in God. Faith is God's got my back. Signed, sealed, delivered, it's on its way. God's got my back. 1 John 4:4 says this, "You have already won a victory over those people because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit that's in the world." When we praise, it reinforces the victory that Jesus already won at the cross. All right, so let's talk about reinforcements, right? All right, we're going to talk about Canada. All right, so let's just say Canada decides that they want to invade the United States. We're like, really? Okay. So we march our troops up to the boundary line and we go, really? You know, 2,000 years ago, we got this. You know, this land is our land. This land is our land. It's not your land. What are you doing, okay? We reinforce the boundary. You don't have to fight the war. We just go, hey, remember, this is ours. Praise says, hey, God, 2,000 years ago, you won this. My health, my healing, my family is restored. You bought it back 2,000 years ago. I trust you. I'm reinforcing that boundary, praising God. I'm not fighting that battle. It's already been won. Praise reinforces what has already been won at the cross because the battle is the Lord's. So we're going to wrap this thing up. All right, so King Jehoshaphat, let's go to our happy ending. 2 Corinthians 20, verse 15. The Lord says, so remember, their eyes were on Jesus and they were listening to see what the Lord said. They're praising God. And then the Lord says, do not be afraid or dismayed at the great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Verse 17, but you will not even need to fight. Take your possessions and stand still. Don't sit. Stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. Read this. I mean, okay, how many of you like war stories? Like, I watched the Winston Churchill movie. I just, like, love, like, how, like, God just turns things around, like Dunkirk. Like, mind-blowingly odds, and God turns it around. So read this. It's a really great war story. And they didn't have to fight. So verses 18 through 21 says, they believed and responded, and they praised God with a loud voice. They took God at his word. God, you said we're not going to have to fight this battle. You said all we got to do is stand and watch. I believe you. God says it. I believe it. That settles it. And then with a loud voice, we praised him. Okay, if you were not an Eagles fan, I am sorry for your loss. But if you were an Eagles fan, okay, come on. There was a very loud voice. There were riots in Philly, okay? When we get excited about a victory, we're loud. Amen. Okay, all the Philly fans go, amen, okay? Yeah, so they believed it and they responded with a loud voice and praised God. Now, here's this really cool detail. You miss it if you don't reread it. God didn't tell them to put the praise team first ahead of the army. Where did that idea come from? Them. They just went, remember, I'm telling you, God didn't tell them to do that. They just got so swept up in the victory. Yeah, God, you got this. We believe you at your word. We got the victory. We're just going to put the praise team up there first. Why not? We're not going to have to fight anyway. So they started singing and praising and clapping, and they marched with the army, and they didn't have to fight, but they're just going to go and just see what God does. And by the time they got there, it's so cool. It's so cool. Sorry, it's just like really such a cool story. Verses 22 through 24, it says, God wiped out the enemy. They actually literally self-destructed. So they turned on each other, and by the time they got there, all the enemies and all the frenemies, instead of fighting you, fought each other and just went annihilated each other. How cool is that? You know, God inhabits the praises of his people. That's what it says in Psalms. Whoo! You want to bring God on the scene real fast? You start praising him, and God fights your battle. It's incredible. So this is the bananas thing. oh my gosh. Like, I'm sorry. Read the story. It's really cool. So they get there. Everybody's wiped out, and you know, everybody's got their wallet with them. Just being honest. Pickpockets of America, unite. Okay, so everybody's dead, and it takes them 3 days to get everybody's wallet. That's a lot of wallets, and they carried cash back then, you know, none of this plastic stuff. So blessings of God overtake them, okay? God is a God of vindication and justice and recompense. Cool story. Cool. Your kids like the story. Read the Bible. It is not boring, especially Old Testament. So not boring. There's some crazy stuff in there. All right. I want to say this. Just ending on this thing. All right. So the battle was won before they got there. All right. So praise is not like the caboose of the train that just follows as everything happens. Praise is like the engine of the train that makes things happen. Remember, the Lord is not moved by your need. He is moved by faith. Right? And praise, man, that fuels your faith better than anything, doesn't it? Your faith is not complete without praise. How about I challenge you a little bit there? Because we can say we believe it until we say it. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, okay? So Colossians 2, verse 7, it says, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. So you're not abounding in faith unless it's with thanksgiving, okay? If you're not abounding in thanksgiving, you're not abounding in faith. I'm in faith for it. Well, what are you talking about? You making him bigger? Just something. All right. All right. Okay. Can the worship team, I'm going to invite you back. Guys, it's good to practice what we preach, right? Including myself. So I want you to kind of like stretch, get ready to stand up. In fact, let's everybody stand up. We're just going to end here. And, I want to say this, as we're praising God, if you do have somewhere that you need to go, you know, if there's something family going on, you obviously can leave. But I just would like to encourage everyone just to take a few minutes and we're just going to focus on him. Because Philippians 4:4, Paul says in prison, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice." So how do you find the words to praise God when you are not feeling it? Most people are not feeling it right now. I'm being honest, right? But it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, not when you feel it." So if you're in the darkest hour, we rejoice. If you're in a low moment, we rejoice. If circumstances are bleak, we rejoice. We're going to press past our circumstances, press past.